10 years. For this to happen, but things won't happen until it's in His time. So as soon as we can understand, accept, and appreciate that, then we'll be all right.
Okay.
But you got to get to that point.
That's what it's doing. It's still a work in progress. Got to get to that point.
What do you feel God is trying to accomplish in your life when He makes you wait?
Patience.
Okay. Spence, say patience.
Trust.
Trust. All right.
Also realizing that we're not in control of all life. It's going to be on all things possible.
Okay. All these are good things. So, what personally makes you impatient? Let's make it personal now.
You know, Pastor, at one point in my life, before I really got to where I am with Christ, that first question that you asked us about why we find it hard to wait on Christ.
Right.
In this world that we live in, we just think sometimes that if we make the right choice and we work hard, we're impatient because the world teaches us to be impatient. We don't have to we can just go and get things, you know. We can just go to a school, you've got good credit, you can buy whatever you want, you know, or whatever you think you can afford. So
Okay. We
live in that kind of mindset that it's up to us to make things happen for us. And not just say that, you know, God is in control of all this. So when you start living that kind of way, you start realizing, okay, I got this, I got that, I got this, I got that. You start moving along, thinking moving along. But you're not moving along in terms of God's way. You're moving along in terms of the world's way.
Okay.
And then the more you grow in faith, the more you realize it's through God who lets everything be. And let us have whatever it is that He blesses us with. It's not of our own accord, it's of His accord.
All right. Well, in your opinion, does that help or hurt? You know, the fact that you are accessible, you have access to those things, you can get it when you need it, when you want it. What's your opinion on if it affects your Christian walk in any degree, you know? Give me a little bit more on that. Okay. It might be around the direction I want to head in.
For example, like I said, me personally, years ago, you know, thinking you're making the right choice, thinking that, you know, you live in a certain way that is affording you these things, then you don't depend as much on God, or you don't give God the credit like you should give God the credit. You know, that He's the one that's blessing you with these and not you. So at some point, even me back years ago, I had to, and it wasn't like all of it was taken away from me, or it even wasn't that it slowed down. It's just that I started to grow in my own faith, and I started to, you know, really appreciate that it was God that was doing this instead of the choices that I made for me myself.
Okay. How many of you have learned in the process that it's better to wait on the Lord? I mean, you've really learned that. Like, you know, you've heard it in church a lot. You've heard it preached. You've read it in the Bible. But can you think back to at least one experience in your life where you know, without a shadow of a doubt, God was teaching you how to wait on Him? Juanita Bottom, some years ago, made a song entitled, well, it may not have been entitled that, but the lyrics said, "I don't mind waiting on the Lord. I don't mind waiting on the Lord." And she repeated that over and over, because in waiting on God, you learn so much in the process. And I want to take us through the scripture tonight to see the character of God and how he, what God is accomplishing, what he's doing, and why he makes us wait. The first thing I want to look at is Psalm 18 and 30. This speaks to, this particular scripture speaks to God's way. We don't always go in God's direction. Am I correct when I say that? I know I can at least speak for myself. There are times when God's way is more difficult than the way that I desire to go. However, like I asked you all the question, I have learned I'm going in his direction willingly or unwillingly. It's a lot easier on us when we allow him to go. Psalm 18, verse 30. When you all have it. Psalm 18, verse 30. What does it say when you get there? Look specifically for what does it say about God's way. It's perfect. So if God's way is perfect, whenever the Holy Spirit is leading us, remember he told his disciples that I won't leave you comfortless, that I'll leave you a helper. I will lead you and guide you, that the Holy Spirit's ministry would be to bring things back to your remembrance, that Jesus said it would lead and guide you in truth. It would convict us of sin. When there's wrongdoing in our life, many people refer to it outside of the Christian circle as a premonition, or they will say, I have an inner knowing that something was not right. But as believers in Christ, we can identify that the Holy Spirit is not leading us in this direction, or the Holy Spirit is revealing to us that this is right and this is wrong. The danger, you all, when if I really believe Psalm 18:30 that God's way is perfect, then I believe that there are no flaws in God's plan. If I believe it's perfect, I believe that it's the best thing for me, despite how I feel about the process. And that's something that I want us to discuss tonight, because when I asked you all, can you think to one moment where God taught you, what did you gain in the process from that experience? What did you take away from the process that helps you even today in this time when you went through that process? Anyone who experienced something that they can think back to, what was it about that experience that helped you know that God's way is right rather than trying to do it your way?
Well, my experience that I can remember, there, although there have been many, I was principal at the time of junior high school. Mm-hmm. And I had this particular grandmother who truly believed in her grandson who did no wrong. And she was known to be a hell raiser. And I had to be scared to set up a conference with her for the next morning because he had got himself in trouble. And I wanted her to know about it before I moved in on him. Mm-hmm. And I knew I could not face her and maintain a professional decorum without asking the Lord, you fix this.
Right.
And then the next morning when she came in, she had a whole different demeanor. You wouldn't even know that she was the same person.
Wow.
And then I said, look at God.
Look at God.
I put the finger on him and said, hey, you tell Grandma why she had to come here to this conference.
Thank you for sharing that, because you said a key thing that I wanted to bring to all of us. You asked for the assistance of God. You specifically said, Lord, fix this. When I can speak for myself, when I'm impatient about certain things, when I make the phrase, I can't wait, or I want it now, there are some things that God allows to happen that way. I get it now. The danger in that is my expectations grow when God moves in my behalf quickly. on some things. And so then when something else happens, there's a tendency, there's a natural tendency in me to want God to respond as quickly or in the same manner in which he did the way he answered me the last time. But what I have to keep in my mind and understand is that God's ways are perfect. Although I solicit God's assistance, although I ask God to help me, God knows when to help me. I have to trust his way. Even when I can't see the plan, when the evidence does not line up, God takes pleasure in his people believing him by faith. There are some things that God does that does not require a lot of faith in order for him to accomplish in your life. But when you say things like, I want to know you better, I want to grow in Christ, I want to be closer to him, I want to, you know, get to that next level in my life. Well, the next level involves a stretching. The next level involves a level of faith that you will have to grow to in order to appreciate waiting on God. Let's look at something specific that God does when we wait on him. Go to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. This is a very familiar passage of scripture, but we often overlook the specifics of what God does when we wait on him. Isaiah 40, verse 31. And then I'm going to go back to Ms. Whitmore, what you said when we opened it up. Back to some of the statements that you made, because I believe that this passage of scripture speaks specifically to some of the things that you shared with us. Again, that's Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Let me know when you find it. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Talk to me. Now, let's dig out of verse 40, 31, and look what God does for the individual who chooses to wait on him. What does it say?
For those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength.
All right, that's the first thing.
They shall not mount up with wings like eagles.
All right, let's go back. But they shall... But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, God gives all of us a measure of strength. But what I am to depend on is God continuously. There are some things that he gives me the natural ability to do. But when I am most effective is when I ask for his assistance, even with those things that he has given me the ability to do. When I'm tired, when I'm weak. How many of you have ever felt like, I just don't have no more to give? I mean, my I'm willing to do it. I just don't have it in me. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But if I can ever grasp the fact of not trying to get ahead of God, of not trying to piece together God's plan based upon my limited knowledge and understanding. He tells us, with all your getting, get understanding. He tells us to lean not into our own understanding, but what? I'm trying to see if y'all are with me. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. When I start off and start trying to direct my path, then I am in the driver's seat. I am in control. I love this about the senior saints of old, because they would often say, "I'll see you tomorrow if the Lord wills." They never promised anything because they allowed God's will to take them in whatever direction God desired to. So rather than lie to them and tell them for sure, "I'll be there tomorrow at 9 o'clock," they say, "I'll be there if the Lord is willing." The Lord allows, acknowledging that God is sovereign. Although my plan is to be there tomorrow at 9, that may not be God's plan or direction for where he wants me to go. When I involve God in the plan, I'll give you a prime example. Sometimes I can get impatient and say to myself, "Man, I'll sure be glad when this over with. I'd rather get this done. I'd rather do that." And then what I'm quick to forget, although I'm ready to get it done, I have to submit to God's will and say, "Lord, for whatever reason, it's not done now. For whatever reason I'm in this position, let me learn the lesson so I don't have to repeat it." How many of you like doing something over and over and over again that you should have learned years ago? You think them people enjoyed going in circles for 40 years? Nothing enjoyable about that. But what's crazy about it is, if you don't wait on them, you can end up doing something over and over again and not even realize you're doing it over and over again. You're doing the same thing. You look back. That's how people, that's how they refer to midlife crisis. You know, people feel like they never got a chance in their childhood, get midlife and just go crazy, just do stuff. And we're saying, where they come from? What were you thinking? Well, it's been there the whole time, but they never had an opportunity to play it out. But Isaiah 40 and 31 says that he will renew our strength. What else? Keep going, Deke. What else does it say?
They shall not be as they
are. Uh-huh. Keep going.
They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Look at the benefits of waiting on God. Renewing your strength. Mounting up with wings as eagles. Eagles soar high. They not only soar high, but they can maintain at high altitudes. In other words, no matter what they face, if danger is coming, most of the time they can fly higher than anything else that is seeking to get to it. As a believer in Christ, when I wait on God, that was a statement I was listening to the presidential debates. And said Michelle Obama referred to, when they go low, we go high. As a Christian, that should characterize our attitude, because the world, our own self, and even things around us always seek to pull us in another direction. But when God tells me something, like you said, D, for 10 years, you all have been here with us, saw us go through this process, know what we were going through, and yet, with going through it, there were times when I had to say, "Lord, I know I'm tired, I know my wife is tired, but you say it." And what we're not going to do is what Abraham did. What we're not going to do is listen to what somebody else is saying do as an alternate. Because if God said he is going to do this, then for me to do anything opposite of that would mean I don't trust him like I say I do.
And you would have been in the driver's seat.
There you go. And when I'm in the driver's seat, I mess up what God has in plan for me, like Abraham did. He said, "I'm going to bless you. I don't need your help. I don't need you to try to drive. When I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do exactly what I said." Now, put yourself in the physical. Think about when you tell somebody you're going to do something and they take control and do what you just told them you're going to do. I don't know about you, but it gets under my skin. Because you're saying, "I just told you that I'm going to handle this." Well, God doesn't say it in that manner, but this is what God does. God says, Here's my word. This is what I need you to do. When you don't do it, he don't always scream at you. He don't say, I told you. He allow you to go, right, go, okay, go on over there. Mm-hmm. I want you to go to Nineveh. And you say, I ain't going. I'm going to get on the ship and go in the opposite direction. He didn't stop him. No. Pay your fare to get on the ship. That cost you. Cargo that you brought with you is going overboard. That cost you. Hurting other people around you because you won't be obedient, that's going to cost you. Then finally, all this chaos going on, he said, you know what? Just throw me overboard. I know what's going on.
When we are not obedient, when we don't wait on the Lord, when we don't let him fix it like Deke did when he said, Lord, fix this situation. Because had he dealt with it on his own terms, it probably would have turned a whole lot different. Because either she would have said something or he would have said something, it would have been all. But when we request the assistance of God, don't jump out of the process. Allow God to develop what he wants to develop in you while you're in the process. When you skip the process, you miss so many things. So I've talked about it several times out here. All of us will get anxious. All of us will want to get some things over with because we're tired of dealing with it. But if I start thinking of it in terms of the fact that God is sovereign, that God is going to direct my paths, that God will make sure that all things work together for my good, then I can adjust my thinking. That's what Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 speaks about when it talks about renewing my mind. If I can change my thought pattern, if I can change my mindset and not focus so much on how long I'm in it or dealing with it, and I start focusing on seeing God through it, then I can get through it with an appreciation that I wouldn't have if I spent more time looking at the problem than the God who allowed me to go through it. Because Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 is what I mentioned. I preached about it often out here, but depending on what translation you're reading from, if it's from the King James, if it's from the English Standard Version or the NIV, the English Standard Version says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, whether I like it or not, this is the reality. This is the situation I'm in. Lord, here is my desire, but I'm going to approach him with thanksgiving. Not so much that he's always going to answer my way, but I'm going to approach him with thanksgiving because however he deals with it, according to Psalm 18, verse 30, his way is perfect. So maybe he answered me like this the first time. But now I'm calling and I'm calling and I'm calling and I'm calling. And it's right here and I'm saying, man, what is really going on? Now, I don't think my super holy roly folks are here tonight that don't have them issues. But your pastor do. There are some times when I'm trusting God, my faith level is on high. But you know when it's normally like that? When I'm in his word. When I am applying whatever God said about my situation to the word. Because what's going to happen, either I'm going to apply God's word to the situation, or I am going to keep harping on and focusing on the situation. Remember I said Sunday that a person who desires to do good, the proverb says, a person who covers and forgives an offense is a person who seeks love. So if my goal is to help and to love that person when I am offended or I offend, if my goal is to love them, then I'm not going to keep harping on the situation, bringing it up, throwing more fire on it over and over and over again. I'm going to talk about it, address it, and move on. Because situation, the enemy knows, if I can allow something to happen that upsets you and you don't fix it, that's enough room. That's all I need. That one moment where you're not where you need to be and on the court. And see, if we're not careful of that, it's difficult to wait when you want to do something. If you're upset, it's hard to wait. When you first come to the doctor's office and you haven't been there 5 hours, oh, you good. Catch you about 2-3 hours later and some folks then going out the door that come after you've been there, you get a little uneasy now because you start looking at your watch saying, wait a minute, I came in at 8 o'clock. Then you start asking, what time you came in? 10? And they leaving out at 10:30 and you've been sitting there since 8 that morning? Your patience run to thin then. And you sitting there saying, now, do y'all have my name on the list? Yeah, we got to. Well, we're going to get you next. And then 2-3 more people come in, get in front of you, and they leave. And now you got a serious problem. Why do you think God allows stuff like that to happen? Do you think God is even involved in things like that?
That's a reception.
Huh?
That's a reception.
It's a reception's error? Okay.
It's a test.
It's a test? How many of you agree or disagree? How many of you agree or disagree?
It there well could be a test, especially if you make a mistake. I'm praying for patience.
There we go. You're being biblical now. I like that.
But when there are more than one doctor there, I keep telling myself when I come in a situation like that, there's more than one doctor there. So these ladies or these people are various doctors. But after, like you say, after that period of time, when the room starts to empty,
wearing on your patience,
and you know that your doctor should have cleared out some of those people like those little doctors.
And you know some of them in there to see the same doctor that you come in to see? Well, it's good to always look for another perspective in everything that happens in life. The reason I say that is because every single situation that you face in life does not necessarily mean that God did it, but it's no surprise to God that you are facing this situation. And there is something to learn. And when I don't learn it, I will repeat the process. That's the main thing. If you don't ask God wisdom, James chapter 1, ask everyone who desires wisdom, ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God will not withhold the knowledge you need. God will not tell you that's a stupid question. He will not treat you like you the scum of the earth. He will answer you. Now, understand that his answer may not be what you were looking for. It may not exactly be what you wanted and how you were looking for it, but he will accomplish it. Now, because we have discovered Psalms 18:30 that God's way is perfect, we've talked about the fact that he'll renew your strength if you wait on him, talked about how our mindset should be while we're going through it, that we shouldn't be anxious about stuff. And when you find yourself getting anxious, you can calm yourself down by talking to God, Lord, help me. Because no matter how anxious you get, until he get ready, ain't nothing changing. You can get as anxious as you want to. You can have a fit. You can take 2 Tylenols, lay down, wake up again, sleeping pill. Nothing is changing until he gets ready. Look at what Isaiah 46:10 says about that in particular. There are some things that we need to know about God's ways, because when we talk about his sovereign control, we talk about the fact that God has complete and independent control over everything. Not a limited amount, but he has complete and total control of creation. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. Look at what he says. This is what God does. God does not look at a situation and view it from our perspective or our eyes or our standpoint, because our knowledge is limited. Isaiah 46 and 10 says what? Okay.
From ancient times, what is still to come.
Mm-hmm.
I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please.
Did you hear that? Let's go over that again. Read the first part. Let's take it a step at a time. What's the first part say?
I make known the end from the beginning.
Stop. God makes known the end from the beginning. Wouldn't it make sense to consult somebody who knows what's going to happen? I mean, I'm going down this direction. It would be great for me to talk to somebody who's been where I'm trying to go, that can say, hey, I know it looks straight right now, but there's a big curve about 3 miles ahead. You have no knowledge, because there are no street signs. They're pointing to the fact that things are getting ready to change. And that's what happens in our lives as believers. We go, and what we don't know is the potholes. We're not made aware of every crook and every turn. But when I consult God, regardless of whether I know there's a big curve coming ahead of time, if I consult God, he'll allow the Holy Spirit to help me slow down right now. You may not even know why you're slowing down, but as people say, you get that feeling, I may just need to slow down a little bit right here. And then when you see there's a big curve there, and you get behind and you thank God, like, woo, Lord, thank you. Because if I kept going at this speed, doing what I was doing, I could have ended up in a bad situation. Waiting on God gives me the opportunity to know him and to engage in conversation with him. When you conversate with someone, when you spend time with them, you get to know them intimately. You get to understand their ways. You know their language. You know when they say something, if they really mean how they said it, or if they're coming from a different situation. So, with that said, in the experience that I asked you all about, you don't necessarily have to share exactly what it was unless you want to. But in waiting on God, why is it, in your opinion, easier for you to wait on God for some things and harder for you to wait on him in others?
Possibly some things seem to be real simplistic, okay, and easy. So in my human weakness, I feel the Lord ought to go on and do them immediately.
That's some good stuff.
Rather than realize, because no matter how big or how small, it's going to be in its time.
Okay. But that's a truthful statement.
Period.
That you believe there are some things that y'all just go and do.
How many? Why you make me wait on this?
Some minor and small.
Right.
You know, nothing major like parting the waters and making bread fall from heaven. Just, you know, just a raise. That's all I'm asking. Nothing major. You know. Talk to me, y'all. Why is it why is it difficult to wait on God for this? And yet there are some other things that you find it hard for you to wait. What makes it hard, in your opinion?
Sometimes
the strength of the desire. Okay. Anyone else? I would say that's certainly true for me. Some things you just want a whole lot more than you want others. So when you want it more, do you do anything different?
I think I have a tendency to pray more and pray more often.
Okay.
The more answers you get about what it is that you're desirous of getting. I don't know if that's the tendency to feel that your faith is getting weak, or just that I want to make sure you heard it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Hey. The fourth time. Not counting, but any day now would be great. Anybody else?
Did you find yourself in that situation?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Light of the word, walk straight, everything. Did you try everything in the path, the right hand thing?
If you were in a relationship, how would that translate to you?
Relationship.
You and your wife. If you did that type of behavior with your wife, how do you think that would translate to her? And then I'm going to ask her the same question.
Probably a lot of anger and resentment.
Tell me why.
Because humans can kind of relate to each other. Physical basis,
right.
And that's the spiritual basis versus the world. So because of that physical, human aspect, patience and temperament is a shorter than it is with Lord and spiritual things.
Okay.
And as a result, we get angry and go to each other quicker than we should.
Let me ask you a different way. Let's just say, and I don't know this, but I'm just throwing out hypotheticals. Let's just say, let's just say they have little peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Let's just say that. And you, let's say Dale wants a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And when Deb tells you she wants a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, she don't get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But Deb says, okay, I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and she figures out that if she kiss you, she can get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm going somewhere with this. If she figures out in her mind that if she kiss you, she can get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, then what would you do? Would you do anything to continue to get those kisses?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so
get a super size peanut butter and jelly and
So, speaking in peanut butter and jelly sandwich terms, both of you benefit in the process. You get something you want, she gets something she wants. So what ultimately happens is, in order to really get what you want, and for you to really get what you want, at some point, behavior has to be repeated. It's the best example I could come up with right now to explain how God responds to his people. The Bible says God delights in the praise of his people. The Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. The Bible talks about how God desires to connect with his people. If the Lord knows that you desire something and you need something, certain things that happen in life make you do certain things. Like when you really wanted God to do what it is you wanted him to do, your behavior changed. How you approached him, how much you prayed, how you tried to straighten up other areas in your life, because at that point, there's something that God had in his possession that you really need. Thank you, Lord. So, in order to help you understand how God views it, if you seek first the kingdom of God, what you really want will be added. But often what we do is fall in love with the thing that we want from God rather than the person. When I connect to the person, I get that stuff that I want. What God really wants the most, he knows that giving you what you're asking for will make you happy. But have you considered how much it means to God to hear your voice? Have you considered how much it means to God for you to say, Lord, I can't see it, but I love you so much, and I agree with your word that I believe you by faith. I don't know how you're going to do this, but I got enough faith and relationship with you to know that when I look back over my life, it's a lot of stuff I didn't see, but you came through. What that kind of stuff does, even in our physical relationships, when I recognize the fact of how good God is in my life, when I thank God even at difficult times, when I ask for his assistance, God show up in ways just to show me, because you trust that I have your back, I'm not only just going to do this, I'm going to give you some more along with you. Because now I know I got your heart, which means that I have your heart enough that I can trust you like I did Job. And I can point at you and your life and say, have you considered them?
That's right.
Because I know no matter what you throw at them, they love me enough to say, I'm just going to wait. I want this, I want that, I'm designed God for this and that. But you know what? Lord, if you don't do it, I'm still going to trust you. Like Job said, yea, though you slay me, I will still trust you. Why you say, why don't you just curse God and die? I hear what you're saying, but I can tell you this, I'm going to stay right here. It's sweet when you trust God. When you wait on him, I want y'all to read, we're getting ready to close, but in Psalm 130, I want us to go there real quick. Just should be about 8 verses of scripture. I want us to go in that and look at a time where we see the psalmist crying out. He is in a situation where he's at a place where he's over his head. Well, he's not just prayed to God, but he's cried out to God. Anybody in here had them cry out moments when this isn't moved beyond just praying? Mm-hmm. Lord, look, this is a dire need that I have. And I want us to look at what he goes through. Psalm 130. Some of the titles refer to it as a song of degrees. This particular psalm it's labeled as one of the psalms that they will use on their way to worship. They used it to prepare themselves for God's forgiveness and also to admit that their wrongdoing and their guilt of sin. But specifically, let's look at some of the things that happened in the psalm. Verse 1 says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Somebody else help me read it. What does your translation say? I have the King James. Anybody has another translation? All right, read verse 1 from the New King James.
Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord.
All right, what's the next verse say?
Lord, hear my voice.
Okay.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication.
So I've called out to you from the depths, from my soul, from a sincere place, from my innermost being. Well, Lord, I'm serious about this. There are some things you pray about, but man, like you all pointed out, when it's a desire, a deep desire that you have, your prayer is different. Your prayer is different. And he says, he's asking the Lord to be attentive to his voice and of his supplications and what he's asking for. And what verse 3 says?
Lord, should mark iniquities.
Lord, have mercy.
Oh Lord, who could stand?
If you took a record, counted every wrong thing we did, nobody could stand. Keep going.
But there is forgiveness with you.
Can you see how he's going? This can be used in your personal life. When you appeal to God's mercy, when you appeal to his attributes, to who he really is, that's how you gain an ear with God. Same way with your spouse. There's certain things that you can repeat that they said, that when you remind them of what they said, they say, you know what? I did say that. All right. So the psalmist said, I've called out to you. Lord, I desire you to hear me in my supplication. Lord, I know there's forgiveness with you. Keep going.
That you may be feared.
Okay, the word feared here in the Hebrew means that he may be referenced. It's not speaking of a fear of God where you are trembling, but he's saying there's forgiveness with you. And the psalmist is saying, Lord, you forgive not because I deserve the forgiveness, but you forgive because you needs to, that you forgiving me reverence you. You're giving me something I don't even desire. I mean, you're giving me something I don't deserve. What does verse 5 say? Here we go with the wait.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I do hope.
Look at that. Now, from verse 1 through 4, he's talking about God hearing him, asking God for forgiveness, thanking God that he does not keep a record of wrongs, because nobody could stand. But then verse 5, after he's asked something for the Lord, what does he do in verse 5? After he's asked God to do something in verse 4, what does he do in verse 5? He said, I'm going to wait. But who is he going to wait for? I'm going to wait for the Lord. My soul doeth wait. My suke. My emotions, my being, my entire being waits upon God's answers and for God to move. And then he says, and in his word do I hope. So I'm calling to him. I'm asking God to help me, but I'm going to wait on him. Because he might not move when I want him to, but I'm going to wait on him. And I'm going to hope in his word. So the fact that I've called out to God and I know he keeps no records of wrong and know I got some wrong. Lord, I thank you for that, but I'm going to wait on you to move. I hope in your word. What does verse 6 say?
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning.
Guards in their times would stand up on the top of the plains, and much like today when you have shift work, you're waiting for the person to come relieve you because you've been standing there all night. You got the night shift and you standing there saying, man, where they at? I'm waiting for the next folk to come in to relieve me. The psalmist say, I'm waiting on God like that. I'm attentive. Lord, what you saying? Anything that's happening, the psalmist is looking for God's footprint in his life. I'm waiting on you, Lord. What does verse 7 says?
Oh, Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption.
Lord, have mercy. When we wait on God, talked about Israel to wait on them because God has mercy. When you wait on him, you see he renews your strength. When you wait on him, you can soar above stuff. that normally would get to you.
That's right.
When you wait on him, you're in a position where he says you mount up with wings as eagles, you shall run and not be weary, your strength won't give out on you. And what God has given you the ability to do, you won't get tired in the process when you wait on him. But when you jump out there and you do a whole lot of stuff that God didn't give you in the first place, you become tired. Even as pastor, I had to learn you can't do everything. And we all got to understand when you try to do too much, a lot of times we can get busy doing church work and not the work of the church. We get so busy, I got to go here, we got to do that, we got to do this, we got to do this. But in all of that moving, if I'm not focused upon what God is trying to do in my life, I can miss something that I got to repeat over again. And I don't want to repeat lessons that God want me to get the first time. Verse 8 says, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Notice verse 4 and verse 8. Look closely at verse 4 and then go to verse 8. Verse 4 says, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou may be revered, revered, or it says fear here, but basically that's what it means. And in verse 8, it says, he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So there is, the psalmist begins praying, saying, I know, Lord, that there is forgiveness with you. And while he's talking to God, he's getting his mind renewed and talking himself back into a space that he needs to be in. Can you see the progression that he's made? He starts off talking about, I've cried to the Lord from the depths of my soul. He transitions from that to say, Lord, I've been crying, but I really need you to hear me on this. I need your ear on this. And then says, Lord, if you counted the number of iniquities, I really couldn't even talk to you because I already know I couldn't. Nobody could stand up to it. And he starts changing around verse 4 and 5 and says and decides, I'm going to wait on the Lord. My soul going to wait and I'm going to hope in his word. In other words, the psalmist say, I don't have nothing else to hold on to. I'm crying, I'm hurting, I'm going through, but Lord, your word. It's almost like he got to the wall and said, I ain't moving. I'm going to stand right here. I'm hurt to the depth of my soul. Lord, I know you hear me. And if you keep a record of wrongs, I couldn't stand. So you know I'm wrong. But my soul went on. Your word, I know, going to make a difference. He started thinking about God's word, and God's word gave him hope. That's why we come here. That's why we focus on what am I dealing with in my life, and I look at what God's word say about that, because verse 7 says that God will give mercy and plenteous redemption and will redeem you from all your iniquities. Thank God that he don't allow us to be taken out in the stuff we get involved in. And I'm just going to say a few things. I can't speak for you all, but I'm just going to share a few things with you from my own life that I thank God that in my foolishness, God didn't let me stay there and he didn't take me out in it. Years ago, I talk about it a lot, on how I was on the street corner and things that I used to do and how I did it. But do you know, I also had friends that took a drink. And that drink turned into another drink and another drink and another drink and another drink and another drink. And some of those people are alcoholics now, but yet I'm not. But I was drinking some of the same stuff that they were drinking. Hanging with some of the same people that now are in jail and a few of them are dead. Wasn't no difference. I'm out there with them, right there doing the same thing. Same stupid mindset and attitude, thinking I know everything. And God didn't let me die in that situation. Before God saved me and I had sense enough to understand, boy, some of the stuff that you were involved with, God could have took your life. The people that you didn't mess with, and you said, ooh, Lord, thank you, because you later saw them at the AIDS clinic and you dodged a bullet. I wish I had somebody up in here. And you said to yourself, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. We got to learn to wait on him. We're closing our study tonight, but I'm challenging all of you to look at where you are in your life right now and things that you are believing God for, have believed God for. And when things don't go as planned, try not to get so upset about the fact that they didn't go as planned and start renewing your mind to say, it's going to work out for my good. Just maybe God wanted to do something different. And there's some people up in this room who I know personal story that I wouldn't dare share with everybody, but I can say that some of you know that you were glad that thing didn't work out in your plan, because in the end you got some extra that you wasn't planning to get in the beginning. And if it had not been for God, you would have done something that would have been okay. But when God is in the plan and he wants something done in your life, waiting on, I've learned that when I'm trying to do something and it doesn't line up and I keep trying, that's God's way of saying to me, step back. I'm doing something. Because at that moment, if I keep pushing, I'm fighting against God and I'm never going to win that battle. But when I step back and say, you know what? There you go, Lord. And change my focus to him. I don't even think about this no more. And when I look up the next time, man, I feel good because I don't realize just how much time I wasted before thinking about those things. So let us close tonight. And I'm going to ask one of you to do the closing prayer for us and ask God to help us to wait on him. And while waiting on him, trust him in the process. Sometimes, like we've discovered, there are some things that are easy to wait on. But to those things that we really desire, I don't want to be guilty of wanting more of what God has to give me than I do of him himself. Because if I stay connected to God, all the blessings will continue to flow. It's when sin enters our life and we continue to sin and stay in sin that we cut the flow. The tube is still coming through the tube. God's still trying to get it to you, but you cut the flow. When you don't live right, when you stay in sin and you don't repent about things that God desires for us to repent on. So somebody closes out in prayer tonight.
That's before we pray. Mm-hmm. I'd like to say thank you for the confirmation of something you said tonight because of a conversation I had today with one of our children. And you came right back and said everything as if you heard our conversation.
God is good.
And I said, thank you, Lord. Then now I know what was said was the right way to go.
That's it.
And the first thing I said was, don't you bother.
Don't do it.
Let him handle it. And the first thing you say is, don't you get in the driver's seat.
That's it.
Because when we get in there, we mess up.
And just,
and if you follow what was said.
That's it.
And I'm going to reiterate because I wrote that down.
Mm-hmm.
On what you said, because I know that situation can work out way better than if you are out in by us touching.
And it may be a blessing in disguise.
Oh, and it is.
Yes, sir.
Can we all come together?
Sure.
Father, as we come to the end of this study, we want to say thank you for giving us an opportunity. It's our ongoing and continuous prayer, God, that you help us to be good in the world.
Yes.
We fall short of God's existence and our endeavors, but we pray that you strengthen us because we know you desire to be good.
Yes.
But when we fall short of God, we pray that you pick us up and give us an opportunity. Continue to bless our pastor and our first lady. Thank you, O God, for hearing that prayer and giving them the blessings that they pray well. And help us to understand continuously that our time is not your time.
Yes.
And your time is not our time. But in our prayerless, oh God, we still love you and pray that you will continue to help us to do better in all the things that we do. Continue to bless that mark.
Yes.
Continue to bless our sick, wherever they are, God. Keep them near the cross, those who are in distress and those who are grieving. And as we leave, we pray that you keep us traveling to this place. Continue to keep God protecting our needs, oh, we are, God. Because this world is drunk and the people are mad. Bless us, O God, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Look at you. Oh, that's some praying right there. What?